to look at a scripture today, and I want to start with the scripture real quick. In John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, if you'll follow along as I read it, it'll be on the screen. But before I do that, let me just preface this scripture, okay? There is a feast going on. It's called the Feast of the Tabernacles, and a part of this feast is the celebration of when Moses
hit the rock. You remember this story in Numbers chapter 20? He hit the rock, and here's why he did it. The people, the Israelites and their cattle and all their animals, they didn't have any water. And so God says to Moses, Moses, hit this rock, and I will give you water. And so he hits it the first time, he hits it a second time, and the water came. Well, a part of this festival that they're celebrating in this scripture is a part of celebrating when Moses hit the rock and the water came out. Well, on the last day of this feast, this is when Jesus talks. And he gives the greatest invitation that has ever been given. And he gave it to the people then, and he gives it to us today. And let's look at it together in John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. It says, on the last day of the greatest, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Great, great scriptures. Let's pray together and ask God to bless the rest of our time. Lord, thank you so much for your word. I thank you for how it speaks to our hearts. And Lord, I thank you that no one is here by accident today. Lord, you have something to say to all of us. And I pray that we would listen. Lord, may you bless this time and may lives be changed for eternity because of the message that you have for us today. And it's in your holy name I pray. Amen. All right, finish this phrase. You can lead a horse to water. Let's say it again. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I don't know if you've ever tried to get a horse to drink. Now, I'm the, you know, again, you know me, the strong-willed type. When you say I can't get my horse to drink water, I want to give it a try. And I don't know if you've ever tried it. I haven't tried it yet, but I'm going to when nobody else is looking, okay? Try to make my horse. If you're stubborn like I am, you're probably going to try it too. But you cannot make a horse drink. It's impossible. They have to choose for themselves. I have a few friends, David Simmons. He's right over here. He rides a Palomino horse. And you could ride that horse all day long, and that horse will not take a drink, ever. Until does he drink at home? I don't even know if he drinks at home. But I mean, we ride the fool off these horses and we'll pull up to the tank and guess what? He doesn't take a drink. Refuses. My horse, on the other hand, wants to wallow in it. You have a horse that just, you know, puts his head down and does that whole bit, gets all the good stuff out of the way and then drinks. My wife didn't really realize that that's what our horses do, and she was kind of, what was the word? Excited, I guess, about that. Because my horse was like, you know, trying to, you know, splash everybody, all the other horses or something. My horse knows how to have fun. And then there's Elaine's horse. Elaine right over here, we were on the cattle drive one time with Elaine, and Elaine's horse wants to get in the tank. Remember that? Oh, man. We're all gathered up, the Woodward Elks, all of us are gathered around this tank, and here's Elaine's horse. You know, just trying to get in the tank. I mean, things are splashing everywhere. Oh, it was hilarious. And so there are different types of horses, but most horses, all horses, you can never make them drink. Well, I noticed the other day that my horses didn't have any water. And so I began to fill the water, the tank, and I gathered up my mare, and I was saddling her, getting her ready for the ranch rodeo. And then I brought her back. And again, I knew that she needed water. I knew that she hadn't had a drink for maybe a few hours or overnight or something because there wasn't any water in the tank. I knew she needed it. I knew that the water was fresh. I knew that it would help her in the long run. If we were going to make a hand at the ranch rodeo, she probably needed a drink. But I could only offer it to her and then let her choose. Here's the application. The same is true in life. As Christians, we have the obligation and the privilege to share the good news of the living water that only Jesus can provide. But we can't make people take it. Some of you guys have children, you have uncles, you have aunts, you have moms and dads that don't know Christ personally, and you're trying to shove it down their face. Listen, you can't do that. Are you to share? Absolutely. Are you to do that in love? Absolutely. But you cannot make them take it. It is our job as Christians, as a preacher, as a church, to offer the living water of Jesus Christ and then give them the choice. And that's what I try to do every Sunday. And that's what we're going to do today. Some of you are Christians. Some of you know the freshness and the refreshing, the life that God gives you through his son, Jesus Christ, because you've tasted the living water. But some of you that are here today, you've never tasted the living water. For some reason, you have great friends that have shared with you, you know, how you can come to Christ and how he can save you from your sins. But for some reason, you've said no. Some reason you've said no. Well, today, I want to look at three key words from this scripture that summarize the gospel. Okay? You ready for these? You ready? Are you ready? Is anybody taking notes? Is my wife taking notes? She's the only one that I have. Oh, thank you, Joyce. Thank you. Betty, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Good job. Let's give these note takers a hand. Again, I don't have anything special to say, but the Lord does. And if you will write things down, God will use you later on the week because you're prepared to give an answer for everybody that asks. If you're like me, if I don't write it down, I don't remember it. So I encourage you, bring a notepad, bring a notebook, write it on your hand, write it on your arm if your mama lets you. But here's today. Okay, three words, three key words that summarize the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the first word. You ready? Thirsty. Thirsty. Look at this scripture, verse 37 again. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said with a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty." If anyone is thirsty. I was looking in my Western Horseman just the other day. How many of you guys read the Western Horseman? Anybody? Okay, well, in the Western Horseman in the October issue, they had a picture, and this is from the Tongue River Ranch. Peter Robbins took this picture, and they have a picture of this. You probably can't really see it, but it's a picture of a horse tank, and it's got about, you know, 20 or 30 colts around it. This is actually taken on the Tongue River Ranch, and I want to read a little excerpt from it. It said, "Spring in West Texas was unusually dry and hot, and the fires were becoming a problem. We were moving the remuda about 10 miles to a camp closer to headquarters. This was the only water between camps. And when the horses got there, they did not need any encouragement to drink." They didn't need any encouragement to drink. Listen, some of you guys are thirsty today. Some of you guys, you recognize that there is something missing in your life. There's something that you can't get a hold on. Just like these horses, that was a physical thirst, a physical need that they had. But for many of us, for all of us that have ever walked this earth, there is a human thirst that we can't feel. We try to feel it, right? I mean, we try to fill it with all the big houses. We try to quench our thirst with the things of this world, with the fancy pickup, which I want, with the pretty horse, with the lovely wife or the lovely girlfriend or the beautiful man or money. And we've realized that we cannot fill this void. We cannot quench this thirst. And you say, are those things bad? I mean, are the things of this world bad? No, I ride a good horse. I think so. I would love to drive a nice pickup. I got a beautiful wife. Those are things that I really get to enjoy. But here's the only way that I can enjoy them. Because I have the true gift of life. And that's the gift of Jesus Christ. And when I have the gift of Jesus Christ, then all the other things in my life are in perspective. Because you know why? I can appreciate them because I know the giver that has given them to me. And I can appreciate it. And so some of you guys are here and you've tried to fill your life with the things of this world. You've tried to satisfy that thirst, and there's only one person, and he's not of this world, that can quench your thirst, that can fill that void, that can satisfy that longing. And his name is? And his name is? Jesus. His name is Jesus. I am, oh, man. I'm working on a sermon series that that's going to offend a lot of people. So come back, okay? There might be four of us left. But here's what I'm learning, and I've known it for a while, but as we grow in our church, the devil tries to, you know, show me different things. As long as you go along with our culture, you're fine. But when you go with the way that God has called us to go, it's never fine. And I'm learning that. I can be a tree-hugging, you know, granola-eating, Buddha-worshipping, fat man, and that's acceptable with everybody. I can even be a Catholic. I can be whatever. I can be a Buddhist. I can be a Muslim, and everybody will support me. But as soon as I say the name of Jesus, and I call on his word, and I read the Bible, and I proclaim the authority that I find in the word of God, that's not okay. And I'm here to tell you, I will go to my dying grave saying and preaching the name of Jesus. And you say, well, Bo, are you asking for trouble? I'm not asking for trouble, but if trouble comes, I will stand against it. And I'll do it through the authority of Jesus Christ. You say, well, Bo, I thought we were supposed to be blessed, and I thought everything was supposed to be cool when you accept Christ. Listen, everything will be cool. We win in the end. But there is a fight that needs to take place, and if we don't fight it, guess what? The next generation will die and go to hell. You say, Bo, it's all about me. It's all about this church. It's all about what you can do for me. No, it's not. If you don't want to reach the next generation, this isn't the church for you. If you don't like electric guitars and a little bluegrass and playing a country song now then that's on secular radio, this isn't the church for you. You know why we do it? Because we're trying to reach the next generation. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about those kids and those teenagers and that young people or even the older people that haven't heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's who we're going to reach. And we're going to do it through the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to do it. Here's the deal. Jesus is the way. He's the way to fill that thirst in your life. And he's saying, I know you're thirsty. Some of you guys are thirsty today. I know you're tired. Some of you guys are tired today. I know you're sick of searching. I know some of you guys are single. I was single till I was 28 years old. And I hated life because I felt like, man, I'm missing something. I'm missing something. I'm searching for this woman that's going to fulfill me. And here's what God brought me to. God said, Bo, you are fulfilled with me. And everything else is just a blessing. Some of you guys are searching for something. You're searching for that mate. You're searching for that boyfriend or that girlfriend. You're searching for something that can satisfy you outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, nothing will. Only when you come to Christ and give him your life will you ever be satisfied. And so he says, those of you who are thirsty, what's the next word, number two? Come. Come. In verse 37, it says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. Jesus says, come. I believe this is one of Jesus's favorite words. Come. You know what? He doesn't just say, you know, come clean. He doesn't say, come all dressed up. He doesn't say, come when you get your life ready. Guess what he says? Come just as you are. Come just as you are. Come filthy. Come hungry. Come thirsty, and I will clean you up. I will satisfy your hunger, and I will quench your thirst. And Jesus is the only way that that can happen. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You want rest today? You got to come. You want your thirst quenched today? You have to come. It's the song that we sang, There Is a City, and Sarah Evans actually sings that song if you want to look it up, you know, on iTunes or whatever. The lyrics say, Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Jesus offers the world the free gift of living water, unlimited grace, free salvation. You can't earn it. You can't work harder. You can't even be good enough. You just have to come. That's what he says. And the third word, you got thirsty, you got come, and then the third word, drink. Thirsty. Those of you that are thirsty, you need to come and you need to drink. Back to verse 37 and 38. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Listen, those of you that are thirsty today, those of you that want more out of life, you want something that is meaningful, you want to find true life, you must come and drink the living water. And you say, well, what does it mean to drink? It means that you come to Christ and believe in him. You take on his forgiveness and you begin a trusting, ongoing relationship with him. And here's what happens. When you give your heart to Christ, guess what? The living water that's represented in this scripture is the power of the Holy Spirit. And you say, what's the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what gives you the power to stand up when things are going bad, to get up when you're down, to remember the verses when people are asking you questions. The Holy Spirit gives me the power to love my wife, to love my children, to love my enemies. That's what the Holy Spirit does. You think it's some kooky, weirdos type ghost Casper thing. It's not. The Holy Spirit is a being that lives inside of us when we come to know him, and it gives us life. Later in the verses 40 through 44, there are some people that accepted this invitation to come and to drink, and there were some people that rejected it. But here's the truth. He still offered it. He offered it to all of them. He didn't offer it just to the religious people, just to the Christian people. He offered it to all of them, and the offer still stands today. To you, to me, to the sinner, to the person with an addiction, to the couple living in sin, to the teen that has nothing to live for. He will give you life. And here's my question. Will you come? Will you drink so that you don't have to thirst anymore? Are you thirsty today? Have you come to Christ and given him your life? Have you drank of the living water? Listen, some of you are already Christians. You've already given your life to Christ, but for some reason you're still trying to quench that thirst with something else. We all do it. I mean, I do it, you do it, we all do it. Even as Christians, when we know we have the living water living inside of us, we still try to quench ourselves with the things of this world. Listen, come back to God. Come back to Christ and know that he can truly quench your thirst. Renew your life today. Give him your heart. Give him all you've got. Listen, I again... God is doing something in my mind and in my heart that's telling me I need to live for him today because life is short. I'm 36 years old. I know, I'm just a pup. But here's the deal. I feel like I'm halfway through with my life. I probably am. What am I living for? What's going to make a difference for me? Is it because I was the pastor of this church? Maybe. Is it because I was a good husband? Maybe. You know what I want to be known for? It's like John Wayne said in the movie Cowboys, it's not how you're buried, it's how they remember you. And I don't know about you, but I want to be remembered for someone that loved the Lord, my God, with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength, because he can quench me. And he's given me life. What about you? Are you thirsty today? Have you given your life to Christ today? Just like that horse, I can't make you drink of his living water, but I can offer it. And that's what I do today. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute. Some of you, again, maybe this is your first time to be back in church for a while. I want to say welcome. And I want to say this church exists to reach people just like you. This church is not about us. It's not about, you know, the Christian that wants to come and just get obese and feed off of everything and, you know, just take it all in. This church is all about reaching people that are unchurched. And I want to welcome you to our church. Maybe you're that person that I'm talking about today that's thirsty, that hasn't given their life to Christ yet. And you say, well, I want to live more life. Listen, life doesn't begin until you give your life to Jesus Christ. You can go, you can try, but you will never be satisfied. And so maybe that's you today. Maybe you're thirsty for something more, for that heart void to be filled. Listen, Jesus says, in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Will you come to him today? If you want to have eternal life one day in heaven, guess what? You have to come face to face with your sin, just like I do. And you have to say, okay, am I going to choose to live my life for myself, or am I going to choose to live my life for the glory of Jesus Christ? If you choose to reject it, I'm not a fluffy type preacher. I'm not going to blow smoke up your skirt. If you choose to reject the invitation to come, your destiny is hell. An eternity in hell. You think 36 years or 45 years or 80 years on this earth is a long time? You can't even imagine what eternity is. And you're going to burn in hell. But you don't have to. Praise the Lord. And so is that you today? Are you thirsty? Are you dying inside? Are you searching? Jesus Christ says, come. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. I'll quench that thirst. If that's you today and you say, you know what, Bo, that's me. I've never given my life to Christ. I don't know him personally, and I want to. Listen, we don't ask you to come to the front. We don't want to embarrass anybody. We don't want to make it to be a skeptical or anything. We just want you to give your life to Christ. It's a personal decision that you have to make. I can't make you. Your mom can't make you. Your grandma can't make you. You have to choose for yourself. And if you want to do that today, I'll tell you how I did it. I knelt by my kitchen table when I was 9 years old and I said, Lord, I want you to come into my life. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want to make you the Lord and the Savior of my life, and I give you my life today. Listen, you can do that right now. You can say that to the Lord just in your heart. Say, Lord, I want you to come into my life. I want you to save me. I want you to give me true life so that I can have an eternity in heaven and I can live with you forever and walk the streets of gold. And so if that's you today and you need to do that, listen, just pray that simple prayer. You don't have to know all the right words. You don't have to, you know all the churchy stuff. You don't even have to know all the Bible. None of us know it all. None of us understand it all. But we are searching. And we do know that the answer is in Christ. And so if that's you today, pray that simple prayer. And then if you've done that for the first time today, and you have given your heart to Jesus Christ, we want to know about it. Our numbers, my number and our elders' numbers will be on the screen. You can write those down, text us, write us. you know, call us and we would love to visit with you about the decision that you made today so that we can help you grow in your walk. And we encourage you to come back. Come back to this church so that you can be fed and so that you can grow in your new relationship with Jesus Christ. For those of you that are Christians that are here today, and you've tasted the Lord and you've seen that He is good, but you're off on a wrong path and you're chasing something else, can I just tell you to come? Come back. Jesus Christ is saying, come back. Stop living a casual Christian life. Stop living for yourself. Stop living for the things of this world and come back so that you can experience true life every day. And so I encourage you, if that's you as a Christian, to do that, to begin to dive into His Word. Come back to praying each day with Him and praying for that God would grow you, that He would use you. Come back to Him. Lord, I thank You for today. I thank You that you shined Your grace on me and that You allow me to be in a personal relationship with You. I thank You for that, Lord. What an amazing, amazing gift that we have that's called eternal life in heaven. And so, Lord, we thank You for that. For those, Lord, that are here today that have never accepted You as their Savior, I pray that they would not wait, but that they would give their lives to You today. And for us as Christians, Lord, help us to live for You, to show others in this world that what it means to truly live for You, no matter what we got to stand against, no matter what comes our way, no matter what trials we face, You will give us the strength to endure. And it will be for Your glory. So we thank You, Lord. We thank You for this church. We thank You for what You're doing. And we thank You for what You're going to do. And we give all the glory to You. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys so much for being here.